Good afternoon, everybody. This is me. I have no relationships to disclose. Here's our objectives. And we're going to talk about the five federal laws that provide a historical context for breastfeeding in the workplace. So we need to start out, first of all, by talking about equality in the workplace. And the concept of equality in the workplace is based on this notion of men as the baseline. And as long as women are treated as if they are men, we have equality in the workplace. And this is an important concept that comes into play. At the same time, we have this kind of dual perspectives where because women are the only ones that are biologically capable of producing human milk, we have this perspective that infant feeding is a women's issue. But again, because we have men as the baseline in the workplace, when we talk about equality in the workplace and breastfeeding at work, we have this perspective that infant feeding is a gender-neutral parenting issue. It's a personal choice, and employers and society do not have an obligation to support that choice. And the courts tend to support that gender-neutral parenting issue position. So there's five federal acts spanning the last 50 years. And we're going to start by talking about the Pregnancy Discrimination Act, but we need to understand the history of that. I'm sure you're all aware, in 1964 in the U.S., Title VII of the Civil Rights Act prohibited discrimination based on a variety of factors. And it also made retaliation against people that complained illegal. In 1972, the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission issued a ruling that said that pregnancy-related disabilities should be treated as like any other temporary disability. And because employers use men as the baseline, there were employers that argued, and the courts upheld their argument, that because men do not need short-term disability coverage for pregnancy-related disabilities, it was not discriminatory to deny that short-term disability coverage to women. That situation existed for 6 years until Congress got around to actually changing the law. And in 78, they passed the Pregnancy Discrimination Act that makes it illegal to discriminate related to pregnancy, childbirth, or related medical condition. It's important to note that this act only covers the mother, not the baby. So breastfeeding as a term, as a medical necessity, is not covered. In 1988, we had the Workforce Investment Act. These were often titled welfare to work programs, and the idea was well-intentioned. It provided job training and resources to help people that were on welfare get the training they needed and the help they needed to get into the workforce, get on their feet, and become more sustainable. Many states tied their requirements for receiving things like WIC benefits or age-dependent children, food stamps, were tied to these programs. So in order to be eligible for the assistance, you had to be involved in one of these programs and looking for work. This state-level requirements, the tying together of the programs with the benefits, kind of created this social culture that staying home to breastfeed your child is not a socially acceptable thing, that you should be in the workforce. And again, it kind of reinforced that whole notion that breastfeeding is a personal decision and society is not obligated to support that decision. In 1990, the Americans with Disabilities Act was passed, and the act as it is written looks like it supports childbirth, pregnancy, breastfeeding. And there were several claims filed against employers that argued that breastfeeding is covered. These wended their way through the U.S. court system. And in 2002, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that the disability must be permanent or long-term, and it must impair major life activities. So breastfeeding is not considered covered under ADA. In 1993, the Family Medical Leave Act was passed. This is a gender-neutral law that gives up to 12 weeks unpaid leave time for people that are taking care of family members, and it covers a variety of things. It can be adoption, it can be if you have an elderly parent that you need to take time off to cover. It's important to note that the leave time is unpaid and not all employers are covered. There are certain requirements. Basically, the mothers that need the leave time the most are not eligible to receive this. There are some efforts underway to make FMLA paid time off, and so we will see what happens with that. I think it's also important to note that legislators pass the laws, the courts interpret them. So the courts are always involved in this. And then in 2010, as we all know, the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act came into being, and we were just talking about this a little bit in the previous session. It amends the Fair Labor Standards Act, and because it is tied to the labor laws, it covers women in states without state-level legislation that would protect them. It's the first federal law that requires accommodation of breastfeeding workers. However, not all workers are covered. Salaried workers are not covered. Smaller companies can apply for a waiver, and if they can make the case that it presents a hardship to their company. So these are all steps in the right direction, but again, legislatures pass the law, courts interpret the laws, the courts tend to interpret in favor of the employers. Not all mothers are covered. The mother must initiate action, which is incredibly, it's difficult for a well-educated professional woman to do this, much less a mother that's working in a factory or out in the field picking vegetables or something. She has to know which agency to file with, and it's very complex. If it's the PDA law, you have to file with EEOC, you know, ACA, I believe, is with the Labor Board. Some cases, you know, do you file with your state attorney general? Is it a county attorney that you file with? You really need legal help to be able to sort through all of this. It's time consuming. Most women worry about negative impacts from their employers, so they're very careful about this. So the mom incurs costs, not only monetary costs, but non-monetary costs at all, as well. It's a lengthy process. The claim is filed. Whatever agency reviews the claim, they make a ruling, the company can appeal the claim, and by the time this whole process works out, chances are that mom has already stopped breastfeeding, so it kind of becomes moot. So moms have to really think about, if they want to do this, is this going to this effort worth the risk for what they may perceive as a short-term benefit? So this is probably the quickest presentation of the day, so we can, if you have questions, we can talk about it later. The science says that breastfeeding is a gender issue. You know, the nutrients in human milk are the best nutritional option. There's benefits to mothers, babies, and society, as I'm sure you're probably all aware. I believe it's been estimated we would save $13 billion in healthcare costs if all infants were exclusively fed breast milk up to 6 months of age. So there's huge benefits to everyone. But the employers and the courts say that treating women as if they were men is equality. So there's no allowance for mothers' unique role in infant feeding. And I was just talking with another lady earlier. As a feminist, I really struggle with this because it's like we need to make accommodations for breastfeeding mothers, but how do we do that without inadvertently or unintentionally undoing some of the work that women have, the benefits that women have struggled for so long, for equality in the workplace, things like equal pay and those kinds of fairness things. So this is my contact information. This went way faster than I thought it would, so.
More time for questions.
Okay, good.
Thank you.